Blog Talk Radio.
We live.
We're live.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One.
With LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
And what's going on, everyone, in Blog Talk Radio Nation and Page One Nation? You are tuned into Page One for another Friday night that we are joining you. It is July the 12th. I think it's safe to say that, in a way, we are pretty much halfway done with the month. We got 2 weeks down, 2 weeks to go in this month. Already, we're headed toward the dog days of August, which is very scary. And as I was telling someone, it seemed like, you know, when we shot for the 4th of July, then I guess coming up, I guess the next holiday or major holiday will be Halloween, which I'm not too shocked if the Halloween stuff goes on shelves soon. And then we'll be at Thanksgiving and then at Christmas. So this year's going by very fast. But the one good thing about this year, as in all the time, I'm joined by my wonderful friend Mary. How are you?
I'm good. You forgot Labor Day.
See, here's the thing. Labor Day, there's no
decorations. Basically, you could stretch your 4th of July decorations into Labor Day.
Yeah, but who does that?
A lot of people. Here's the thing. Labor Day marks the whole beginning of the holiday season, though.
To me, I see Labor Day as the end of. Yeah, it's more of me like the end of things, not the beginning of. I don't know why. I think, like, right after Halloween, to me, is kind of like the beginning of the stretch run of holidays. Because at that point, now you have to start some people plan for Thanksgiving and shopping and the holiday season, and pretty much a couple of days after that, it is November, and after Halloween, it's November, and then sometimes holiday music starts. Some people start earlier than that.
Right.
But I think that I would not be shocked if a few months from now we are having the debate on when holiday music should start.
Never. I think we should just get rid of holiday music. No, I'm just kidding. I'm so kidding. I can accept the day after Thanksgiving up to December 1st.
Really?
Anything before that? Yeah. Anything before that? F you. No. But Thanksgiving, like Black Friday, if they start any time between Black Friday and the 1st of December, I can handle that.
So if some holiday music started sneaking in around November 3rd or 4th.
Mm-mm. Nope. Heck no. Shut that off. Quit it. I'm never listening to your radio station again.
Well, here in Chicago, Light FM, which can be heard on the Odyssey app, I'm sure. And there's a reason why I'm going to mention the Odyssey app in just a minute. Light FM, here in Chicago, it is always a gamble on when they begin Christmas music. And I think the earliest that they've begun Christmas music, I think, was November 1st or 2nd. And they switched to a 24-hour holiday music format through pretty much the new year. And I think it's right around the beginning of November, and people have called for it. I know people out there who are huge Christmas music fans and don't mind it happening around there because it gets them in a holiday mood.
No, thank you. Thanksgiving music? Fine. Christmas music that early? Uh-uh. Like, I'm not going to stop anybody from listening to it, but I will not. So if somebody says, hey, we're turning this station on, I'd be like, I respectfully am going to ignore you and the station and put in my own headphones.
Holiday music fan early? No.
Not early. There's no way to convince me.
Okay. Gotcha. So I know now not to play anything holiday related on this broadcast until after Thanksgiving.
Right. Christmas, nothing Christmas related. You want to play a Thanksgiving song? Be my guest.
Is there a Thanksgiving song?
I think there's like one.
I'm sure there is, but it's not popular, though.
It's the Adam Sandler version.
Yeah. But even then, his most famous song is about Hanukkah, which, yeah, it's not even Thanksgiving, so... I don't know. That's got to be Christmas. I'm trying to think of any other holiday after that that probably has the most songs. Well, maybe St. Patrick's Day. Maybe.
Really?
Some mentions of St. Patrick's Day or maybe New Year's. New Year's, St. Patrick's Day. I'm trying to think of at least two or three other holidays that might have a lot of music in regards to it. Yeah. That's a hard thought. Christmas is kind of... You know, it's kind of like Christmas has a lot of songs for it. And then if you really want to break it down, the day of the week that probably has the most songs, probably either Monday... or Friday, or Saturday. Those have probably got to be the 3 days that have the most songs about it. Monday because...
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that, yeah.
Yeah, Monday because it's the beginning of the week, Friday because it kind of signals the weekend, and Saturday night's all right for fighting. Stormy Monday.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's certain things you can do. There's no songs about Wednesday, maybe, or a popular song, or Tuesday. There's nothing with that.
Poor Tuesday doesn't have any love.
Yeah, Tuesday has no love, because Tuesday is like Monday's cousin, you know? It's going to get no love.
It's Monday's baby brother is what it is. It's Monday's annoying baby brother.
Right. It gets no love because it's pretty much you still are at the beginning of the week. And if you got through Monday, you still got to get through Tuesday. It's like, oh. Like Tuesday is like the, I want to say it's like the second cousin. It's not the popular cousin. It's the second cousin that nobody really talks to that much. They just show up every once in a while, and it's kind of like, oh, there he is. I think that's pretty much how that goes.
The creepy uncle that shows up to the barbecue, but you're like, I really don't want to go sit on his lap.
Monday can kind of be like that. Why does it always have to be the creepy uncle?
Would it be the creepy aunt? She's usually the one that just, you know, pinches your nose or pinches your cheek and is like, when are you going to get a girlfriend?
Yes, or the older one, it always kisses you on the lips. Yes. It's that aunt.
Oh, I've never run into that aunt, so I'm just going to have to take your word for it.
No, you know, and one reason I say that, it was a Friends episode where Ross and Monica went to a wedding, and it was their cousin's wedding, and their aunt was there. I think it was their aunt, and he was like, she always kissed him on the lips. He's like, why always on the lips? Why? It was always the aunt. Yes. So now we're gonna dispel the creepy uncle myth here on the show.
Okay. Creepy anyway. Aunt or uncle. We'll call them both. How's that?
Creepy aunt or uncle. And then there's also the fun uncle and fun aunt. So, yeah. Now you're going to have people telling us stories about their creepy uncle or creepy cousin. It's coming. Anyway, I digress. Tonight on the program, I will tell you, coming up in just a couple of minutes or near moments, I will tell you the most interesting thing I read. We will have the Almanac tonight. We do have a topic of discussion tonight. And then I kind of don't know what to do with this other segment. It's a bunch of stories. Normally we call it potpourri. I guess it is a mixture of things. Some of it is potpourri. Some of it, you could call it yay or nay. And then some of it, you can call it more of the most interesting things I read. But we will share it all in the next half hour. And then and the next hour, we will repeat what we did last week with another hour of After Dark. I kind of have a question. I didn't even talk with Mary about it. It was something that I saw on someone else's post. But I thought it was interesting because it's something that I think will help a lot of us guys at the end of the day. And I'm not to put her on the spot, but I'm kind of hoping that I can get a definitive answer on this. And it should make for an interesting After Dark segment. So we will have all of that along with what's trending, retro moment of the week. One of the things that I know was trending, and I'm kind of going to at least go through one of it now, I saw all day today. I know that you are a big fan of the Marvel Universe. I saw Red Hulk trending.
Mm-hmm. Yep, a little worried.
Why?
I don't know if you've noticed, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe, has slowed down as of late. They've lost some of their magic. But they keep pushing it the same way as if the magic was still there. So I am just a little worried. A little.
So do you think that this movie will save Marvel? Or do you think it will hurt?
It has the potential to do either. And almost in a weird way, both.
It seemed like everybody was excited about it.
That's how it always starts. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm excited, but then I'm also like, I remember what Marvel does sometimes. Like, they force things, and it's like, just let it be organic. You don't have to force it. We're geeks. We will come. We're like the Field of Dreams. You build it, we'll get there.
I guess we should tell the folks that the Red Hulk was going to be a part of the Captain America Brave New World, which will hit theaters February 14th of 2025. So Valentine's Day, I guess you folks know where to take your loved ones.
As long as they're geeky.
Yes, as long as they're geeky, you could take them to... but somebody, you know, a lot of people on this thing are saying that they'd rather, or they better see Red Hulk versus Hulk on the big screen. Someone said we live in a world where Red Hulk is now more interesting in the MCU than original Hulk.
That's what I'm saying. It has the potential to be great, and it has the potential to really just suck. And so I'm worried, but hopeful.
I think somebody said Harrison Ford's going to be in that movie.
That I haven't seen. Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be interesting.
Yeah. I think they said they saw scenes with him. He will be in that movie.
That would be interesting.
And then somebody said... they were asking Harrison Ford on if he will turn into Red Hulk in Captain America Brave New World. He's like, what's a Red Hulk? I can hear him saying that. yeah, I know they're... I'm looking at screenshots here.
They're going to do an alternate universe where actually MCU crosses over into Star Wars.
Just confuse us all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm seeing.
I mean, they're all
here.
Disney franchises anyway, so why not?
It's going to happen. But yeah, he will be in that because they are showing screenshots of him in that movie. So that will be interesting. Yeah. So Red Hulk, not Red Rum, Red Hulk. But most interesting thing that I read, there were quite a few, and I'm going to share at least a few. Oh, man, I don't even know. You know, it's very interesting. But anyway, the first thing that I read this week comes from Yosemite, California. Rangers at Yosemite National Park are asking the public not to bury toilet paper, especially if it is used, after making a displeasing discovery near Rancheria Falls. In a post on social media on Monday, rangers said they found pieces of used toilet paper near the falls, describing it as a sight that has become all too familiar in the park, even in wilderness areas. The unpleasant uncovering prompted a reminder to visitors to pack their toilet paper if they bring it out on trips. They recommend bringing a sealable plastic bag to stash it in, and even covering the bag in tape so you don't have to look at it. According to Yosemite National Park officials, buried toilet paper can be easily uncovered again by weather and erosion. Animals can also dig it up and disperse it long before it decomposes. Some animals have even been known to use it for nesting material. Nobody wants to stumble upon a surprise package left behind by an anonymous outdoor enthusiast, according to park rangers in the social media posts. Please don't bury toilet paper. I can see the look on your face as
Wow. I'm trying not to, like, ew.
Yep.
People.
And that is what some of you are doing. I don't even know what the, you know, but that's not surprising, though. It is.
No, the burying toilet paper is actually not surprising.
I mean,
but,
you gotta go, right?
Right, and people will think, it's paper, so it'll break down, but ew.
No. And then at a sign of the times, Target, the retail giant here, has announced several new store policies aimed at streamlining the checkout process. They will soon stop accepting personal checks as a form of payment at checkout. In a statement,
I didn't realize they still did.
Yes, they still do. I saw it a couple of years ago. In a statement to NBC News, the retail giant said it was committed to creating an easy and convenient checkout experience, but that due to extremely low volumes, it would no longer take personal checks starting July 15th. It said it has taken several measures to notify guests in advance of the move. It will still accept cash, digital wallet payments like Apple Pay, Snap EBT, Buy Now, Pay Later services, and credit and debit cards. Rival Walmart will still accept personal checks. They better, because that's where a lot of older people shop. Target has announced several new store policies aimed at streamlining the checkout process, some of which were also aimed at curbing theft. In March, the company said it would be taking steps to limit or eliminate self-checkout options at some of its stores this year. Last month, Bloomberg News reported that Target was allowing employees to stop thefts of $50 or more, lower than the previous $100 threshold. Know that they could do that. But, yeah, they are no longer taking checks. The last time I saw that happen was actually, like I said, a couple of years ago. It wasn't at Target, but it was at Walmart. And I was so shocked that that still occurred. But, yes.
I mean, here. This is how I know I'm in between, like, age groups of things, because, wow, they still accept checks, but then do people even still know how to write checks?
If you're 40 and over, maybe. If you're under 40, probably not.
I wonder if I could start a new TikTok challenge. You know, there's that whole, like, you can sign your name without picking up the pen or cursive. Maybe I could start a TikTok challenge of using outdated payment methods.
You know what? Younger people tend to really cling towards a lot of things that are, they seem to be really old-fashioned. There's a, we've reported on a lot of Gen X stories where, you know, even like sex has changed for them now, because it's like they are really kind of old-fashioned when it comes to certain things. And I think,
but they're not old-fashioned. Don't call them old-fashioned. This is new. They're coming up with these ideas on their own. Just because we did them 30 years ago does not mean that it's not a new concept.
Yeah. I got news for you kids. The wheelbarrow is an old-fashioned concept. but yeah, no, there's a lot of things now that Gen X is like really clinging on to that is old, and I guess it brings up the thing that everything old is new again. Yeah, maybe you can. But the problem is that you don't have TikTok, so...
Fine. Fine. I'll find somebody that has TikTok to be like, hey, start this challenge.
I have
blew
one.
Up.
I've had one. I've had it for over a year and a half, and I've yet to do an actual TikTok. I just do it to follow other people on TikTok. But no, I don't do it. The last thing, kind of not the best story if you're an older person. Diagnosis of sexually transmitted diseases or STDs jumped up in recent years, especially among older Americans, according to new data. The data from Fair Health found a 4.8% increase in patients with STD diagnosis from 2020 to 2023. The 65 and older age group saw the highest increase in this period, with a 23.8% increase in STD diagnosis. Axios, which reported first in the new figures, noted that the data is consistent with findings from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that show increases in STD diagnosis among adults 55 and older between 2012 and 2022. The second largest increase was among those aged 55 to 64, who saw a 16.2% jump in STD diagnosis. Patients aged 45 to 54 saw a 7.6% increase, while those in the 35 to 44 age group saw an 8.6% increase. The only age groups to see a drop in diagnosis were 18 and younger and 19 to 24. Overall, the data found that syphilis was the fastest growing diagnosis across all age groups between 2020 and 2023. There was a 29% increase in syphilis diagnosis, nearly 17% increase for gonorrhea, and a 14% increase for HIV and AIDS. There was also a 32% increase in the human papillomavirus diagnosis among those 65 and older, according to the data.
I can understand the older generation because they're not wrapping it up. Why wrap it up? We aren't going to get pregnant. We aren't going to do it.
They were in the era of free love anyway, so...
Right, but they're also not going to get pregnant, so what's the point of wearing a condom?
I see now. No, Myrtle is not as pure as she used to be, I guess.
I hate to break it to you, but Myrtle's never been pure. She's just been keeping it a secret. That one doesn't surprise me. What made me giggle is that the younger generation's like, yeah, we're not going to do this.
Right.
Wait, what?
We're just going to abstain. We're just going to sit back now. Well, I mean, we've done studies in the show where a lot of them don't really have sex that much. It's kind of like in recent years, because of COVID and everything else, they pretty much just like, oh, nope, gonna be at home, not gonna really do much, and not gonna really get out like that, and they haven't, and that's not surprising. So, wow. Grandma, Grandpa, why are you taking that cream? Yeah. And now we know. Yeah, you folks, you older folks out there, man.
Right?
You guys are freaky.
But, let them be. You know, they're coming up on end of life, so let them be.
So next time you go and you see about your hip, please go to the other spot and get some condoms, I guess. But yes.
Right.
Got to start passing them out in the home as well, I see. But, yes, that leads us now to the almanac. Today is, as we said, the 12th. I think I swore I talked about some of these things last week, and then when I bought them back up, I'm like, I don't remember it. But today is National French Friday, so hopefully you went somewhere and got some fries.
Nope. No, but it is National Orange Chicken Day, and that we did have.
Oh.
There you
really?
Go. Representing my Asian brethren.
Good for you. 7-Eleven Day was yesterday, and I did not get a chance to go and get a Slurpee. So
I did. How is that something? Normally, you're the one that gets the Slurpees, and I'm the one that's like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was today.
Well, I'm still not getting around as much, so I didn't get a chance to like really get out yesterday. So, you know, I don't hold a lot of hope for my local 7-Eleven because I know I'd be disappointed because if I probably went there, like three out of the like four Slurpee things probably wouldn't be working. And even then, one of them would probably be some sugar-free stuff that I'd just not drinking anyway. So, yeah, I'd. No,
my 7-Eleven ran out of cups when I was there. They had run out of cups. I went in the afternoon on my way home so that I can enjoy it and then have the rest of the night to myself. But when I got there, they had run out of, the lady told me they ran out of the cups. They had 1,000 cups allocated to their store and they ran out at about 11 a.m. So I had to get a large, but they gave it to me at like, the normal price. So they took
really
whatever the price of the small was off of it. Yeah.
Wow. That reduced. Was nice.
Yeah. I was like, dude, you could easily piss people off and be like, nope, this is all we've got. And
pretty much.
See you.
That's how I was like, that's pretty nice of them. Wow. Way to go, 7-Eleven. It's also Eat Your Jello Day, Collector Car Appreciation Day, Paper Bag Day, National Pecan Pie Day, National Different Colored Eyes Day, it is National Simplicity Day, and then tomorrow it's National Barbershop Music Appreciation Day, National Beans and Franks Day, it's National Delaware
Beans
Day.
And Franks.
Yes, Beans and Franks, Frank and Beans.
Frank and Beans.
National Delaware Day, and then on the 14th it is National Mac and Cheese Day. The 14th also is National Nude Day.
The color?
No.
Or the lack of clothing?
The lack of clothing. It's a Sunday. Yes.
Oh, it's a Sunday?
Nudist groups around the world celebrate this holiday and take it quite seriously. Nudists, also known as naturists. Yes. They are individuals who believe the human body is the most beautiful in its natural state. So are you going to be celebrating?
I'm going to refuse to answer that question just in case it comes back to haunt me. But probably.
That almost got political. It's like, oh, y'all will not... divulged, I will be celebrating that.
I will absolutely be celebrating if I can.
Good for you. Also on Nude Day, it is National Tape Measure Day. Every year we do this, and I have to write you this.
I love it.
It's also National Tape Measure Day on National Nude Day.
I love it. Someone was thinking when they made these holidays.
I'm sure they did. And also what makes it more interesting is National Grand Marnier Day. Or Mariner, if you want to pronounce it that way. But so you can drink, you can be nude.
Drink, naked, and bring your tape measure.
And eat some mac and cheese. All on the same day.
You know what? Sunday is my day. Don't be talking to me Sunday. That is probably the best day for me ever. mac and cheese, Grand Marnier, nudity, and tape measures. I'm like, I am a kid in a candy store. My 12-year-old boy is just screaming. Is it the 14th yet?
Even more funnier, on the following day, on the 15th, it's social media giving day. So if you want to give to social media, you can take pics of what you did on Sunday.
I'm celebrating on Sunday.
Monday is also National Get Out of the Doghouse Day. It's National National Gummy Worm Day, National Tapioca Pudding Day.
Interesting.
National I Love Horses Day. It's National Pet Fire Safety Day. National Give Something Away Day. Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
All right, Derek.
The 16th is Corn Fritters Day. It is National Personal Chef Day. The Wednesday, the 17th, it is National Hot Dog Day. National Lottery Day. National Tattoo Day. World Emoji Day. National Yellow Pig Day. National Wrong Way Corrigan Day. It's also National Peach Ice Cream Day. And then on the 18th, it's National Tropical Fruit Day. National Dole Whip Day, Get to Know Your Customers Day, National Sour Candy Day, National Caviar Day. And I'm going to give you all a peek ahead to next Friday. Next Friday, it is International Retainer Day, meaning the retainer that you put in your mouth, National Words with Friends Day, and next Friday is National Daiquiri Day.
Whoop, whoop.
It's a lot to celebrate here.
Strawberry daiquiris are so good.
Yes, they are. So a lot to celebrate in the upcoming week. Yes, that's what's coming up ahead. So here's what we're going to do, because we're already at the halfway point. This is how fast this show goes. We will do our A topic, and then we'll also get into the potpourri section on the other half of the program. First, we are going to do Retro Moment of the Week. So pretty much what I kind of talked about, if you were listening, you'll actually see that the commercials might correspond with that. See, it all runs together. Some part of this show corresponds with the other, so if you're listening and I don't give you the hint, you'll pick up on it. But that's the Retro Moment of the Week, and that's coming up in mere seconds. Join us on the other side. Thanks for listening to us on this Friday night. This is Paige Wolt with Lavar and Mary here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Life can get pretty sad when you're fishing for a really different dessert. Seems like you've tried just about everything except Jell-O chocolate tapioca, the different dessert that's so delicious, too. Each bite full of rich, creamy chocolate tapioca flavor. And look, a large bowl like this takes only 5 quick minutes to prepare. So easy for mother, and so nourishing for the children. Serve a delicious Jell-O chocolate tapioca dessert today. Try vanilla and orange coconut, too. 3 distinctive flavors. Jell-O tapioca.
Forward march!
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
A big parade is so inspiring.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I never want to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, there would soon be nothing left of me. Oh, I love to be an
Oscar Mayer wieners
wiener.
Are all meat, all good meat, rich and complete meat protein, mildly seasoned to bring out all the good meat flavor.
Everyone would be in love with me.
Next week, you handle just the refreshments, Freddy.
You're You're listening to Page One.
Page One.
With LeVar and Mary. Your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Our wieners are full of protein. Welcome back to another Page One with LeVar and Mary on this Friday night on this July 12th. Ooh, some of these commercials, man, I tell you. The censor nowadays would not cover them. But yes, it is another Friday, and I think we always have some topic that comes up in regards to states and what they are doing with schools. It seems to be such a busy period of time. There is a story that has come out of the state of Virginia this week in which Virginia is set to restrict the use of cell phones in schools, joining a growing list of states that are banning or limiting the use of the devices in schools, citing concerns about students who are spending too much time in front of screens. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin signed an executive order on Tuesday to establish cell phone-free classrooms in all Virginia K through 12 public schools. Executive Order 33 requires the State Department of Education to team up with partners to set guidelines for restricting phones in K through 12 classrooms by the fall, which would then be implemented on January 1st of 2025. The executive order highlighted mental health concerns among adolescents, including anxiety and depression, as a main factor behind the decision, stemming in part from teens' significant use of popular social media platforms, which, according to the American Psychological Association report published in April, is an average of 4.8 hours per day. The order also said students who use phones during school days tend to learn less and earn lower grades. The order suggests the use of pouches or dedicated cell phone lockers as potential ways students could store their phones during school days. It also doesn't completely ban cell phones. It stipulates that the Education Department needs to address processes for parents to communicate with their children in times of emergencies and for everyday issues such as forgotten items and pickup times. In a June op-ed, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy called for warning labels on social media sites similar to warning labels on tobacco products in order to, quote, address the defining public health challenge of our time. Virginia's executive order comes 1 month after the Board of Los Angeles' Unified School District, the nation's second largest school district, when they passed a ban on cell phones on June 18th, which will take effect by the spring semester of the 2024-2025 school year. States like Florida, Indiana, and Ohio have also passed similar laws, and several other states are considering doing the same with legislative proposals in the works. This seems to be something that is picking up steam. The old man in me will say, I grew up in a time in which I didn't have a cell phone at school. Is it really needed? And is this something that you think will be pretty much nationwide, at least by some point in the not-too-distant future? Or is it a good thing and bad thing?
I mean, it could be both. It could be either. It could be neither. It really depends on how they end up doing it. I agree that too much screen time is not a great thing for kids that are trying to learn. But, and here's the but in the statement, if you're asking the children to research papers, look up things, calculators, people are using their phones as calculators now. So it just really depends on how you're doing that. You're going to need to have that kind of media. I'm not saying that it has to be a cell phone, but there's going to have to be some kind of media or some kind of electronic device that's going to help you through whatever it is that you're doing. So it could be good. It could be bad. It just really depends. You know, and it's a crappy answer. As my dad would say, that's a crappy answer, but that, unfortunately, that's where we're at.
In an era in which there's so much that's going on. In an era in which we have seen increased school shootings, increased lockdowns that have occurred in schools, I think that is the main reason why a part of me is concerned about a total ban, but a part of me is also thinking there are also devices that, and I know this sounds silly, but I know that there are stopper devices which can stop you from using your phone.
Correct.
Why can't they just install those in classrooms and the teacher can control the switch?
That's why I said it could be potentially great. It could also be potentially crappy. It could be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. It depends on how they put that out there. It really just depends on how they I guess, I don't know what's a good word, but how they institute the ban.
It seems, too, that the ban really isn't coming from, it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like I think the schools are doing it to stop potential drama that could come from what people do on social media throughout the day more than a learning thing. Because, you know, you and I both know that nowadays what happens is that with social media, especially during the school day, kids will find a way to post stuff, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Snapchat, where they're talking about somebody, and then at the end of the day, at 3 o'clock, that leads to probably some fight outside because somebody posted something about somebody. And I think the school...
Yeah, cyberbullying is big.
Yeah. And the schools have probably had so much of it, they're pretty much like, well, you know what? We don't want to be bothered with what kind of goes on during the day and the posts that kind of could occur. So let's just stop it all and just do it from that perspective. I don't even think they're really doing it from an educational perspective of, hey, it's distracting them during the day. I think it's from a, you know, whole thing of we don't want to have to deal with the drama that is from kids posting stuff that eventually will implode at the end of school.
And I don't know why educators don't just say that. Because they're not going to get the support from parents?
Probably not, because I think what parents will say at that point is, well, if it happens, well, and I think, too, I kind of almost will get it. Because if you are an educator, do you really want to break up that fight that could be avoidable if they just didn't have the phone? Do you want to really deal with that drama?
Yeah, I understand not wanting to deal with the drama, but it's not a necessary... Here's the thing. Don't let your kids go on social media. Oh, you can't tell my kid what to do. It's going to end up being... I don't know. I see parents not disciplining their children anyway.
Nope,
so
they're
what's
not.
The point?
They're not, because
like,
you know what? Those are going to be the same.
You in school are supposed to be watching my kids.
And you know, those are going to be the same parents at a school board meeting saying, my kid needs to have that phone next to him because if something happens, I need to know that they're okay right away. And if they don't have their phone next to it, or you have it in these lock boxes, or it's in their locker, they can't get to it, which is pretty much kind of like stopping them from having some way to get a hold of me. And I can see that happening as well. I don't have skin in the game on this one. I don't have kids in school. I don't have, you know, I don't know what that's like. But a part of me would at least in some way just tell my kid, hey, have this phone with you. But at the same time, you are at school to learn. You're not at school to be on your phone all day. And don't use the phone during class. Were there a few people when I was growing up that had phones? Yeah, But they had half bout. It's just like blatantly autumn during the middle of class. You know, there has to be some type of way down the middle of, because I think at the end of the day, I can see this where, heaven forbid, something happens, and someone will say, man, if only that kid had their phone on him, we could see what the situation was like, you know, from somewhere. It's kind of, you know, that fine line, because heaven forbid, if something happened and there's a kid that's hiding and can tell someone, hey, this is what's going on from where I'm at, it's going to be helpful. But if they don't have their phone, you know, now we're playing a guessing game.
Yeah. I mean, I can see both sides of that. Like I said, it could be good. It could be bad. It really depends. There's got to be a lot more discussion to it. I'm glad that you have that, you know, like, stuff is going to get passed, but there needs to be more discussion.
Right. So we will see where that goes. Hopefully, but you're seeing, like I said, a bunch of other school districts and states, not just states that mostly lean one way. I mean, California is a pretty, you know, well, in some ways, make it lean either way, sometimes a liberal way or sometimes a conservative way in the state of California. But the fact that, you know, the nation's second largest school district is doing that, you know, it's just a matter of time before other larger states start looking at that, especially if it is an issue. I don't think that you're going to see the Wyoming school districts do that, because I don't think that's an issue there.
Right.
Or it may not be in smaller states. Larger states, probably, perhaps, but not in smaller states. So, yeah. Tonight, I told you that we had a bunch of topics. Some could go in either one of the many things that we do on this show. If you are a listener to the show, you know that we have generally yay or nay. We'll have potpourri. We will have, you know, something else. So these kind of all fit, or are the best or most interesting thing I read. These kind of all fit in either one of those categories tonight. So it's just a bunch of stories that we're going to be going through because they came across the desk and I thought that they were interesting to do. This one can kind of be a yay or nay. And I know how my friend is going to feel about this one right off the bat, and she's probably going to be sickened by it. It's the reason I didn't tell her that this story was going to happen. But there's a new dessert, something that you'll probably relish. Clausen and Baked by Melissa have joined forces to create a first-of-its-kind pickle cupcake. The delicious pickle-infused cake and pickle buttercream icing, complete with festive red and white sprinkles on top, was released today in celebration of National Pickle Month of July. Pickles are kind of a big deal right now, especially with Gen Z. According to an October 2023 Data Essential report, pickle products have continued to trend upward, with 73% of Americans reporting that they enjoy the taste of pickles, per the press release. I know a percentage that doesn't, and she's on this show. But the 150-year-old pickle brand Clausen has been on the forefront of the trend for a while, having entered the beverage space for the first time last year, launching a sparkling wine cocktail. Through this summer, they're sealing the deal with desserts. They said that we're excited to keep our pickle momentum going this summer with our first ever dessert. Pickle is such a universal flavor, so we're consistently and constantly working to find new and unique ways to bring Clausen's signature taste to many different beloved occasions. These cupcakes will be the perfect unexpected twist for pickle fanatics everywhere.
Ew.
It says that the addition of the pickle gives the cupcake a zippy, sweet, salty, sour kick, making it a unique ingredient.
Excuse me while I burp.
You would not be interested in a pickle cupcake?
Not even a little bit. Nope. Nope.
Oh, such a party pooper.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
No, I mean, I love some pickles on things, but that's kind of drawing the line. When we start going to desserts, I'm good. Don't need it. There was an interesting study here in the U.S. A Midwestern city, affectionately known as the Land of Splendor, has been named the most educated in America, according to a recent WalletHub study. The financial services company compared the 150 most populated metropolitan areas in the United States, grading them based on a formula that included the share of adults with high school diplomas and college degrees and the quality of public education. It also weighted racial and gender gaps. So do you know who ranked number one for the most educated city? You're going to kick yourself
educated.
If you don't notice.
I mean, the first thing that I would say is because of the number of schools that are in the surrounding area would be Chicago, but it's probably New York. Am I wrong in both counts?
I'll give you the hint again. A Midwestern city affectionately known as the Land of Splendor.
No clue. I'm going to kick myself.
Oh, yeah, you will. Ranked number one for the second straight year is Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, really?
More than 95% of its residents aged 25 and older have a high school diploma, 57% have a bachelor's degree, and about 30% have an advanced degree, the highest rates in the nation per the study. I would think that being near the University of Michigan and having a lot of schools within that area would probably help. In addition, the metro area has a lot of equality and educational attainment, with only a 1.9% gap between the share of women and men who have had at least a bachelor's degree, according to Adam McCann, a financial writer for WalletHub. The study found that the San Jose metro area in California is the second most educated in the United States, while the Washington, D.C. area was ranked third. The top 10 overall, while I gave you Ann Arbor, San Jose, and Washington, D.C., you care to take a guess on the remaining seven?
There's got to be something on the eastern seaboard, north, over by Massachusetts or wherever, Connecticut, up in that area.
You are correct. You care to wager a guess?
No, I'm awful with that.
All right, well, I'll tell you. At number 10, number 10 was the Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue, Washington area.
Okay.
Number 9 was Boston, Cambridge, and Newton, Massachusetts. Number 8 was Austin. Yeah. Number 8 was Austin, Round Rock, and Georgetown, Texas. Number 7 was Raleigh and Cary in North Carolina. Number 6 was San Francisco, Oakland, and Berkeley, California. Number 5, which is shocking, but then again, I know it probably is because it's a college town. Madison, Wisconsin was at number 5. Number 4, since we're talking college towns, was the Durham Chapel Hill in North Carolina. And then number 3, Washington, D.C., San Jose at number 2, and Ann Arbor at number 1. So
here's my question. A lot of those, like Austin is Austin. They're including other cities that are around there. There's like 3 of them.
Yeah, that's like surrounding area. That's what they're including in that list.
Yeah, that's kind of cheating.
Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you about the flip side. On the flip side, the least educated cities on Wallet Hub's list.
Las Vegas is in there. I know it is.
You said Vegas?
Vegas
no.
is...
Nope.
I'm surprised.
Nope, surprisingly not. Here's the thing. On the flip side, their least educated cities are predominantly located in California and Texas. At the very bottom of the ranking is, I'm going to get this so wrong, Visalia, California, followed by the McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission, Texas area. So dead last was the Visalia area. McAllen was at 149, Brownsville was at 148, Bakersfield, California at 147. At 146 was Modesto, Stockton at 145, Now, Hickory, Lenoir, and Morganton, North Carolina, was at 144. Beaumont, Port Arthur, Texas, was at 143. 142 was Salinas, California, and at 141 was Corpus Christi. So,
that's so funny. Corpus is a college town.
Yeah. So, that is very interesting, you know, how that list kind of happened. But no, those are the most educated and least educated, according to the study. I heard something the other day, which I was actually quite surprised to hear about. It actually kind of made I heard it on the radio, and I did not notice. And I guess if you are a world traveler and you are more familiar with what is going on in the world, the war on tourism is starting anew. With COVID-19 quarantines officially in the rearview window, you're right, because it's still kind of out there, anti-travel attacks have been common in 2024. From the spray painting of a pair of private jets at Britain's Stansted Airport, attempts at blocking U.S. airports, and a move to ban Israelis from visiting the Maldives. And it says, what if an Olympics was held and nobody came? That probably won't happen in Paris this summer, despite the violence, but many Europeans are saying that they don't want tourists. In the United States, Maui is still recovering from the disastrous fire that killed 102 people and destroyed historic Lahaina, although the Maui Economic Development Board says the island's visitor industry accounts for nearly $4 out of every $5 generated there. A young hotel worker acknowledged that in Hawaii, you're kind of raised to hate tourists. Such attitudes, as well as the ambivalence of the Hawaiian Tourism Authority towards tourism, have given a lot of people a sense that tourists, no matter how respectful, are unwelcome. Now, the latest news from the anti-tourist front is that Barcelona residents attacked foreign diners with water guns. The demonstrators even put crime scene tape around hotel and cafe entrances. Time magazine treated it as a big joke, saying thousands of angry Barcelona residents took to the streets over the weekend to participate in the protests against mass tourism in the Spanish city. Their weapon of choice, the humble water pistol. Video footage showed protesters squirting water from colorful pistols at travelers who were dining in Las Ramblas, which is a tourist-heavy district, as soggy tourists awkwardly scurried away. Catalans were even seen chanting, "Tourists go home," and using red tape to cordon off hotel and restaurant entry points. Other demonstrators held signs that said, "Tourism kills the city." Barcelona visitors didn't find the protests so friendly or fun. Tourists enjoying a nice meal in one of the world's most popular cities have been attacked by locals as over-tourism reaches boiling point, said one report. BBC footage showed 2,800 demonstrators descending on tourists, shooting water pistols at them, and chasing them out of restaurants and cafes. You know, in photos, the tourists singled out for the attack shared looks of fear and confusion, wondering whether it was a terrorist attack, what did they spray, why, and did they do something wrong. Most chose to run away rather than fight back, which would have made a bad situation worse. In the U.S., spraying people with water could potentially constitute assault. The protest came after the local government raised the tax on tourists and announced the coming end of short-term rentals within 5 years. Local authorities said the cost of housing has risen 68% in Barcelona over the past decade. They blame short-term rentals like Airbnb, yet demonstrators target hotels, restaurants, and individual tourists. And they also said that in Barcelona, 26 million tourists generated 13.8 billion euros in spending in 2023. But unemployment there is about 11.3%, and unemployment among young people, 20 to 24, is 25%. Yet the tourism sector accounts for 12.6% of the Spanish jobs, or about 3 million people, which is up. So here we are going to Barcelona, and they don't like it. They are attacking us with water guns.
We're giving them income.
Yeah.
But yet they don't.
Also, by the way, I'm not going to just put that out there, but Barcelona is not the only anti-tourist destination in Europe. The Telegraph recently rated how hostile various European destinations were toward British visitors. On a scale of 1 to 10, Corfu and Provence rated 2, Capri 3, and surprisingly tourist-overloaded Santorini was just a 4. There was a 5 with Tenerife and Venice and Split in Croatia, 6 of 10. Amsterdam and Barcelona at the boiling point was 7 out of 10, upset about over-tourism. Majorca, 8 of 10, leads the disgruntled list. In Majorca, a week rarely goes by without an anti-tourist demonstration. In May, more than 10,000 people marched to protest tourism and the lack of affordable housing. Another anti-tourism protest will take place there on July 21st. But, yeah, they said that in some places that tourism, people are kind of tired of. They don't want to see you coming.
Keep coming back to your tour, if tourism is the biggest part of your, like, it's one of the bigger parts of your, like, it gives you money. Your income for your city benefits from tourism, but you want anti-tourism? It's because somebody's not making enough is what it comes down to. But if you're saying, no, I just don't like these many people coming, okay, all right, that's fine. What happens when your hotel that has full of people doesn't get full of people, so that means that you don't need as many people that work front desk or the housekeepers or the bellhops or the valet parkers. Well, now they're out of jobs, so they're not spending money. The people that stay in those hotels also usually frequent restaurants and your tourist destination. They take tours. They go and see your landscape and your architecture and your history. But no, now your museums are losing money. Your restaurants are losing money, so you don't need to have your docents or your wait staff or your cooks. So they're not going to be making, they're not going to be spending money.
Isn't that maddening? It's
ask Las Vegas what happened when we had to have a last call for COVID. And they will tell you how much, because that is 100%. I'm not even talking like 20%. That is 100% Las Vegas. That is what they make their money off of. And just how devastating that was.
I mean, hey, if you don't want people coming to Barcelona, we will be glad to go elsewhere.
Right. And then when you complain that you don't have as much tourists anymore and we're not making the kind of money we used to, and now we're having to, like, scrape up from where we were before, well, maybe you should be nicer to your tourists. Now, some tourists are assholes. I'm not going to even be – like, some tourists are crap. Don't be a jerk as a tourist. But it's not the tourists that you have a – it's not the individual – it's not tourism that you have a problem with. And you can't blame the entire – oh, there's too many people. Yeah, well, you chose to live there. Live somewhere else. Spain's a big country. Live somewhere else. Stop complaining.
By the way, on the dark side, I know a lot of you probably don't think about the apocalypse, but it is the Costco of living. See what I did there? Given that the world will start seriously unraveling next year, at least according to the blind mystic Baba Vanga, it's high time to start prepping for Armageddon. Fortunately, Costco is selling the ultimate apocalypse dinner kit, which lasts for a quarter century. It cost under $100, as detailed in a viral Instagram post. One person said, while describing the portable pantry in the clip, they said, I guess this is for when the apocalypse hits, which could be any time now. Who knows? A company footage shows the TikToker detailing the contents, which are crammed into one bucket. It's kind of like a clown car. Manufactured by ReadyWise, a company that sells long-term survival food, the emergency food supply variety pack contains a belly-bursting 150 servings of freeze-dried food. Pressure Luck mistakenly claims it only has 132. It includes pasta Alfredo, cheesy macaroni, teriyaki rice, creamy pasta and vegetables, potato pot pie, tomato basil soup with pasta, chicken noodle soup, brown sugar and maple multigrain, and apple cinnamon cereal. Also included in the cornucopia are crunchy granola, white rice, vanilla pudding, whey milk, alternative, and an orange drink. To prepare, doomsday preppers simply need to add water to the vittles, which total 15,280 calories. and they'll be hunky-dory when disaster hits. Or at the very least, they won't die on an empty stomach. Best of all, the Bunker Banquet in a Bucket, 3 cents fast, runs only $99 and stays fresh for a staggering 25 years, according to its marketing. It says this assortment isn't just a temporary fix. It's a long-term solution, Costco writes on its site. It's a tangible expression of your dedication to ensuring you and your loved ones are cared for no matter what lies ahead. Now, they also offer surprisingly gourmet apocalyptic kits, including the Mountain House Asian-inspired freeze-dry kit, which entails 48 servings of Far East inflected freeze-dry foods for $179, and it includes a Mountain House cooked ground beef. The latter features a whopping 135 servings. But I actually had a friend who who was quite interested in these emergency dinner kits. I just have one question now. In the event of an apocalypse happening, if something were to happen and you had to go for that food, what if the water lines are affected? Then you can't eat the food.
Oh, sweetie, they have the filters. They have the individual water filters.
What if you don't have it?
Well, then you're not a very good doomsday prepper. I'm sorry. If you're going to be prepping for the zombie apocalypse, you should know better. Okay? Just saying. You should know better. I have one. Not that I'm prepping for doomsday or anything, but anytime there's an I have an emergency kit. And in that emergency kit, it's not like the Costco kit. But in that emergency kit, I do have a water filtration device. You stick it on the end of your bottle, and you turn your bottle upside down. Like, you fill your bottle with water, you stick this on the end of the bottle, you turn your bottle upside down, and by gravity, it forces it through and filters it through the carbon filters and all that other stuff.
So that means you can take that down.
Clean water.
You can take that down to the river and, like, pour some water in it, and it's going to filter it?
Yeah, basically, yes.
You going to drink that?
They also have life straws. I would probably still boil it and then do that. But that's
what
because I'm a weirdo and I like my water.
Well, what if the electric and power lines are knocked out?
No, sweetie, I have a fire starter in my emergency kit, too.
You have a fire starter? You want it? Got an answer for everything, don't you? What if you can't get out of your
in
house?
My emergency
kit. Can't start
in
your fire in your house,
kit.
Can you?
In my emergency kit, yes, I do. And yes, you can.
Too much smoke gets in, and you got to go outside, and then boom, now you're done.
I have a fireplace I can use. I'm good.
What if it is blocked by something?
What? Got to give me what? Blocked by what? Volcanic ash? Zombies?
That or trees. What if it's blocked by, like, something like just ash or trees or whatever it is?
Okay, we're going to go this deep. Okay. I have a concrete floor in my garage. I will be more than happy to set that on fire.
God. Got an answer for everything. Well,
when it comes to an emergency, yes. But I'm not a prepper. I have an emergency kit. And I think everybody should have an emergency kit. It doesn't have to be obviously as mine, but you can absolutely have an emergency kit for any kind of natural disaster or if there's a fire or an evacuation that's being forced upon you, like if you're in a state that has hurricanes or earthquakes, that would give you 3 days worth of emergency preparedness in a bin that's like a Rubbermaid bin that can fit in your car, is very mobile, for less than $75. And you could put it all together by going like to Dollar Tree or Five Below and absolutely do that and be good for 3 days worth of emergency preparedness per person to have in your home. And it's super simple. So, yeah. In this case, yes. I have an answer for everything because this one's something that I actually really care about.
You say prepper.
Uh,
Yeah. You have no cash, no credit, nothing. What'll you do? What will you do?
Yeah, what will you do?
Single woman. That's what I'm saying. Single mother, okay? That's what it is. It is not doomsday. It is single mother.
Wow. I tell you, man, you got an answer for it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we shall see when that... Well, hopefully it does not hit in our lifetimes. Hopefully we're...
I was going to say, when the apocalypse happens and I can survive for 3 days and you can't, not my fault.
Well, you know what? Depending on what's outside in the long-term arrangements, I don't know, man. We may not. Especially if there's something in the air that we cannot. But actually, there was a report about doomsday and when it will start occurring. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But that was actually quite interesting. Speaking of doomsday, something that can doom your day, amateur mixologists are unknowingly concocting a micro bee brew. Doctors are warning against TikTok's uber viral sink drink trend because it could be a recipe for bacterial infection. Now, for the uninitiated, this DIY booze, it's a technique that involves MacGyvering a variety of beverages from sangria to horchata in the kitchen or even bathroom in the sink, as seen in videos with millions of views. In one tutorial with over 55 million views, the tipsy bartender, we all know who he is, he demonstrates how to whip up his signature jungle juice drink, vodka, which is vodka, Hawaiian punch, lemonade, pink lemonade, and citrus prunts right in his wash basin. Ugh. Unfortunately, these kitchen drinks have raised alarm bells among experts who say they could essentially be serving up a cesspool. Is normally considered one of the riskiest places in the kitchen, as it's the place we deposit cooked and uncooked food waste and wash our hands after touching raw meats and other spillages. They explain that this makes the wash basin an ideal breeding ground for E. coli and salmonella, explaining ultimately you are using your kitchen sink to get rid of things and you are likely facing millions of bacteria in and around the sink and plug hole. He said plug hole. The doctor even decided to study for the National Sanitation Foundation that found that 45% of kitchen sinks harbor coliform bacteria such as E. coli, while 27% house molds that are known to cause allergic reactions and respiratory issues. So that means that those home mixologists could inadvertently be making a salmonella spritz. And indeed, some experts have claimed that the kitchen sink is even dirtier than the toilet. They say in most cases it's safer to make a salad in a toilet seat than it is to make one on a cutting board. So why people want to do this? Why would you use your kitchen sink to mix a drink?
I don't know. It's gross. That sounds gross. It is gross. Let's forget that it sounds gross. It is gross. What gets me is that my sink is cleaner than my toilet seat. How is that possible?
Because they said that most people clean
their sinks.
Yeah, they said that most people clean their toilets, and so what happens is that because you're constantly probably cleaning those and doing other things, that it's going to probably turn out to be cleaner than your kitchen sink, which is quite telling.
I don't know. I clean my kitchen sink the same amount of times that I clean my toilet seat, so I'm going to go with they're both the same amount of gross. So therefore, I'm still not making my drinks in either of places.
Yeah. Why is it that we want to continuously try to copy things on TikTok?
Because people don't just do things like on their own. They want to be the next viral sensation and make millions of dollars. I don't know.
I'm guessing. Anyway, coming up in just a few moments, we will have After Dark for the remainder of the hour until the end of the show tonight. I was trying to look for a interesting question that I saw just the other day, but I guess I'm going to have to do this verbatim as I cannot find it, but I got you. I'm going to bring it up anyway because it was actually something that a lot of women, when they saw this question, had an answer for, and I'm going to probably put Mary on the spot tonight and asking her if this is true. So we're going to have one additional retro moment for you, and then we will be back with After Dark, and I will warn you before then. After Dark, of course, details things of a frank and explicit nature. Listener discretion is advised. So if you have kitties in the room and you want to get them out of the room, do so now. You've got about a minute to do it, and then we'll be back on the other side with After Dark.
September 19th. On Friday, September 19th, you can see the car, Buick 59, not just a new car, but a new class of fine cars, within reach of two out of three new car buyers, cars so new even their names had to be new.
Mercedes, Invicta, Electra, a new generation of Buicks is here. Mercedes, Invicta, Electra.
September 19th, the car, Buick 59.
Welcome back. Page one. This is now the After Dark segment of the program. So, as I said, if you have little kids in the room and you don't want them listening, now's the time to get them out. Well, you had enough time, so I gave you a forewarning. But I kind of ran across a post the other day, and no, it wasn't your post. It was a post from a popular person on Instagram, but it elicited such a response, and now the bad thing is that I think they kind of
took it
got
down.
Rid of the they got rid of the post, but it was actually a good post for an After Dark question, because their question to everyone was, it was mostly towards ladies. And the question that they asked was, ladies, how do you, I guess, hint to your man that you're kind of want that night to be the night? And there were quite a few people who said that they kind of have to not trick people into doing it without pretty much flat out. You know, like there are people who will flat out blatantly tell them, hey, look, we're having sex tonight. That's what's going to happen. But some people said that they call their significant other and tell them that they're bored and if they want to come over and watch TV, knowing full well that TV is not going to be the entire thing that evening. And then some also said that they kind of hint around it, but a lot of it that I read was pretty much like people who didn't come right out and actually like say it, but it was more or less dropping hints. But if you and I both know, and we've talked about it in the past, guys are not always the best at getting hints.
They aren't.
So in an era in which one is trying to, as Missy Elliott will say, get their freak on, what does one generally do? And do women always either use a hard hint, or do they use a subtle hint? Since you're the only woman on this panel tonight.
I am the wrong person to ask because I am very much the babe. You know I'm feeling it right now, right? Oh, if you want this, hit me up. Like, I'm that person.
But not everybody is. And that's the thing.
Correct.
The thing was,
that's what I'm saying. I'm the wrong person to ask in this case because I'm that person. But I guess my girlfriend's... Okay, I got to put my girlfriend's cap on here. Just a second. Let me think. What would they say? They would say... That's my brain ticking, by the way. It's going to blow up here in a moment because I'm actually thinking about this. Women think they give great hints, and they don't. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm giving away our secrets. Sometimes our hints are either hit you in the face with a brick or what do you mean you didn't get it when I wiggled my eyebrows at you and blinked twice? You didn't understand that was like code. So it's one extreme or the other. We're not very good at giving hints. With that being said, I don't think you should give hints. There shouldn't be a hint. It should just be, well, let's back up. The only time you would give a hint is if it's somebody that you are not currently involved with. So if you have some sort of relationship with this and you are like, hey, we've been dating, it's my fiance, whatever the case may be, it's your long-time hookup, because women have those too. Like, hey, we're not dating, but if I need to move on to that special place, you're going to help me out. Your booty call friends, your friends with benefits, whatever, you have a relationship with them. Don't hint. Just say. Like, I don't – okay, I pose this question to you as the guy on this channel. If a woman came to you and said, hey, I'm feeling it tonight and I want to come by, what you think? And was straight up with you. Would you rather have that? Or the, can I come over? I'm bored. And I really like to just watch a movie. And I'd like to be in your
I would rather just straight up, because here's the thing. Because depending upon where you're at, quote, in that relationship, and especially if it's in the beginning, what could happen is that if you read the signal wrong, and if you pull the trigger thinking that that's what they wanted, then that could go either one of two ways. That could go pretty much from a way in which somebody's like, I didn't come over here for that. I actually was kind of, you know, bored and just wanted to do something. I didn't want sex. Why do guys always want sex? And then it leads into the whole thing imploding before your eyes, which is why I said, you know, guys are horrible. If you give a guy a moment to actually, it's kind of like a movie where there's a red wire and a green wire. If you are giving a clueless guy a moment to think about which one he needs to cut before everything self-destructs, if you don't give him a good hit, and if he never learned it, everybody's going to explode. And the bad part to this is that hints are one of those things in which guys are not good at. I mean, I'm going to be honest, just like I said, just like women aren't, guys aren't either. And that's the bad part to all this, because as people who beat around the bush, you know, they always kind of say, if you don't say what you want, you're not going to want what you want to get. So, you know, but like I said, it's a double-edged sword. It's darned if you do, darned if you don't, because if someone is guessing that that's what you want, it could go bad, which is why I think that a lot of guys aren't going to, they're not going to know. It's going to be very confusing. And at that point, they're just going to be like, I don't know. And you could both be sitting there wanting the same thing, and it's just not happening because he's scared to make that move, to think that the assumption is that that's all he wants. And that's why, he came over, or he thinks that that's why you called him over there. Because sometimes I know, you ladies, your minds can change in the drop of a hat. And if you pretty much kind of, had that intent and then didn't as soon as he came over, if it turned off, now you're both in stuck position. So that's why I thought it was very interesting, because some people, their response, and they must have deleted it, which is disappointing, but some people in their response that I've read, some people were flat out kind of, one said she would tell her guy, hey, how'd she put it? It was something to the fact of, hey, you know what? I went out today and I actually got a wax. And she said that. And pretty much was like,
You want to see?
Right. That was her, hit. That was what she wanted. Others kind of said the whole thing about calling and, seeing what the other person was doing and it leading to them possibly coming over to, hang out. But like I said, the whole hangout thing, that could be different, man, because it's like if you're dating, it's different, because it's kind of almost like, I don't want to say a given, because you'll know. But if it's like a relationship that hasn't reached that stage yet, and you're just starting off dating, how does one know? And this sounds bad, but it's kind of where in an era now where guys are afraid to, some aren't. They're just going to go ahead and make the move and just take that chance and, fall on that bomb if they have to. But in an era in which a lot of guys are too afraid to do it, what's going to happen is that you're going to have to kind of, and I know ladies don't want to do this, and I hate to say this, but you're going to have to kind of take the lead when it comes to sex sometimes, because guys just don't know. And if we don't want to mess up what we got going, we're not going to, initiate it unless you do.
Which is probably why I am as well. That's not why. Let's be honest. I'm this way because I'm a weirdo. But when it comes down to it, it's just so much easier, because you're right. Women change their mind. Let's not even say women. Let's keep it very, very much first person. I change my mind at the drop of a hat. I could be feeling it. I could be feeling sexy and on point and I can conquer the world, and I want you between my legs, conquering the world with me, I'm going to ride this Bronco into the sunset. And then as soon as something happens on TV, be like, you know what? Now I just want to eat ice cream. And cuddle. I want my PJs, and I want fuzzy slippers and a tub of ice cream. That's kind of what I want right now.
And by the way, guys, the worst thing that could happen, or the worst move you can make, don't do anything if that ASPCA commercial comes on, because that's not the time to be like, Joe.
So, hey, in the arms of an angel, what do you think there, babe? What do you think? No.
She's a little vulnerable right now. Let me try. Not to do that.
Don't give in. But, yeah, absolutely, I can change my mind at the drop of a hat. Absolutely. What I have found, and because I am a ripe old woman, this has come with age. I understand this. I have found that it is just easier to be right out front about it and just be like, listen, right now I feel it. I want to ride this Bronco into the sunset, and I want you to be the Bronco. If you don't hurry up, I'm going to put on my comfortable PJ pants and my fluffy slippers, and we're done. I'm cuddling, maybe. if you make room for this giant 5-gallon tub of ice cream that I'm going to make my way through and eat my feelings. So just giving you the heads up. And normally it works out. It works out the best way for both of us. But that's come with age, experience, and then getting to the point where I'm comfortable enough in my own skin to know that if I say that, 9 times out of 10, the guy I'm with is like, yes, boobies, thank you. Like, you just gave me consent. You told me what you wanted. You already said what's going to happen, and I get to see boobies. I do not see the downside on this one, 9 times out of 10. Every so often, it'll be like, I don't really feel like it today. I had a hard day at work, and I'm just done. That is a very rare occurrence, in my opinion.
Wow, and somebody's offering.
Exactly!
Yeah. That's where we're headed.
Come on. It's like The Price is Right. I just called your name. I want you cheering, clapping, and on your way down.
I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to be good tonight.
No, you're not. You want to be.
I'm trying to be. I'm going to tiptoe through that and head to the next story. Going to go over to the next story. God, man, this is bad. If this was probably like, never mind.
If this was on Twitch, there would be so many people making comments right now.
Oh, man, this would be very bad.
I would
right?
love
not,
it.
Not this, if this was ever on Twitch, we would probably be kicked off Twitch.
No, surprisingly, we wouldn't. We'd probably be very, very, very popular, and people would be like, wait, you know what they're talking about over there? Go over there. You need to go over there right now. Like, go over there.
I keep telling you, After Dark may be exclusively on. I mean, I feel at times After Dark is probably better exclusively on Twitch.
I would be more explicit if this were Twitch. I'm always a little hesitant to be fully explicit just because...
Because
this ends up
the,
on Spotify.
this is the A show, which has to end up on other outlets, and we have to be as good as we possibly can be. And by the way,
I'm glad, as explicit as I can be.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did see the other day where if you go to the Odyssey app and you type in under podcast, if you type in for our show, it will pop up. So if you're on the Odyssey app, it's also on there, under their podcast, which was amazing. I did not know that. So, but yes, trying to be good. Oh, so good. I should get a medal for being good. But, so.
I keyed that up for you. That was all you had to do was knock it out of the park, dude.
I know you did, and for the greater respect of the listening audience, I do. I did not know what I was going to say that was at the top of my head, and I will leave that alone there.
I tried, folks. I tried.
You did. You did. You almost had me say it, but I did not. So the other story that comes out is that the bare minimum Australian women expect when dating someone has been revealed, and they aren't asking for much. Alicia Majwani, who is a media advisor, and she took to TikTok to ask other Australian women what their minimum standards were for dating. She said that she really needed to get some sort of benchmark on what the ladies in Australia were accepting as the bare minimum when it comes to dating. She thinks that we all need to be transparent about our standards regarding romance, and she shared the 4 things that she requires. She says the first one is you have to actually ask her on a date. That is not me hanging out. If you use the words hang out or catch up, I'm immediately icked out and turned off. And the second is actually picking a place, she said. If you can't pick a place, come back to me with some suggestions and we can talk about it. The third standard is that she needs her date to reconfirm on the day that the date is still happening, ideally before 2 p.m., and she'd like her date to be waiting outside the venue when she arrives. The 32-year-old standards were far less about flowers and romantic gestures and far more about clear communication. The comments section underneath her TikTok received a wide range of responses, and while different women shared various bare minimums, the overriding theme was that Aussie men aren't putting enough effort in when it comes to dating. One woman said all she requires is for the man to organize the first date, but it can't be at his house. Another said all she wants is for the guy to be super clear and obvious that he wants to take her on a date. One man weighed in and said that he has mates who are almost about 30 and have never taken a girl on a proper first date. They just ask women to hang out. Maybe it's different there. Someone else said that the bar is very low here in Australia, and another said that Australia's dating culture is in the trenches. Another complained that dating there was getting wined and dined. You get asked to hang out or go for a walk. She told the news.com.australia that the common denominator in her responses to her question was that women want to be asked out properly. That means not using language that alludes to hanging out or catching up, because the truth is, when you're trying to date someone, you need to get to know them. So using language that you would with friends who you have a history with and a deep understanding has the ability to be misconstrued for disinterest, which results in most women feeling that men are approaching dating in a low-effort manner. She also explained that she thinks communication needs to be better when it comes to dating in Australia, saying that they can all benefit from clear communication and transparency, and that every time is as valuable as your own time, so being respectful of that and upfront of what you want would help solve a lot of dating issues that they see online. It almost sounds like the same problems that we kind of sometimes have here, except people don't really ask to hang out or walk. World of a difference.
That depends on where you're at.
By
they
way,
never
Australia,
ask to hang out and, like, walk in Vegas in the middle of the summer, because that's just gross. But
by the way,
you live in a beach community, you might.
Great. Australia woman, I'm coming back to you with another story about what you all do, so hang tight.
So what do you want to know from me? Do I agree?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Do you agree? Would that ick you out, or pretty much be like, nope, that is a no, like, no deal if that occurs?
Okay, so, I don't know about ick me out, but I definitely would. If somebody says, hey, you want to hang out? I'd be like, yeah, you're in the friend zone.
Ooh.
The whole thing about me telling you that I'm feeling like on fire tonight and that, you know, I want to ride the Bronco out into the sunset, you aren't getting that speech. Not for me, because we're hanging out. I hang out with my girlfriends. I hang out with my guy friends. I hang out with my married friends. That's who I hang out with my kids. I don't hang out with a person that wants to date me. If you want to date me, you say, hey, I'd like to take you on a date. And I'm talking just at the beginning. Like, after you've been dating for a while, be like, hey, you want to hang out? Huh? You want to hang out? Huh? That's after a while. Okay? That's like, we've been dating for a while. But that first initial, the first kind of like at the beginning, and you really want, yeah. You need to make the effort. I want, because I'm dumb. I don't think anybody wants to date me, or I didn't think anybody wanted to date me. So you got to be obvious. 100% agreed. And effort goes a long way.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Speaking of effort, we are sticking with Australia. An Australian influencer made an embarrassing confession about her bedroom behavior, but new data has revealed she's definitely not alone. Laura Hinshaw, who co-owns the fitness brand Kick with Steph Claire Smith, sheepishly revealed during a recent episode of their podcast that she once used a household object as a makeshift sex toy. But while the wellness influencer described the omission as embarrassing, statistics show that 1 in 3 Australians have experimented with items not initially intended to be used for self-pleasure. New research from Love Honey Australia, a market leader in sexual wellness, has uncovered the surprising DIY sex trend after quizzing over 1,000 Aussies about their intimate bedroom antics. More than a third of Australians, 34%, are spicing up their sex lives with household products, opting for pillows, shower heads, and even vegetables to get their kicks. Electric toothbrushes also prove popular among the sexually creative, as well as socks, gloves, mobile phones, hairbrushes, and even washing machines. In Henshaw's case, the 30-year-old admitted to repurposing a cucumber, stating she went to the supermarket specifically to buy it when she was in high school. At least I'm healthy. I'm keeping it fresh, she joked during the admission of a recent episode of Kick Pod. Her co-host was quick to respond, noting that Henshaw had previously gone viral after admitting she doesn't wash her vibrators every time between use. She says, please tell me you washed it. According to Love Honey, the driving force behind the innovative approach to satisfaction varied. But for a third of Aussies, 32%, it was simply because they didn't have any sex toys handy. More than a quarter, 27%, were inspired by pop culture, having read about household items being used for sexual pleasure or having seen them used in movies or on TV, while a further 1 in 10, or 11%, said using a household item in the bedroom was suggested by their partner. Men are found to be slightly more adventurous with household items than women, with 37% trying it out compared to 30% of women. While experimentation can be as fun and a healthy part of sexual development, it's not without its risk. According to Christina Raff, Love Honey sex and relationship expert, a small but notable amount of respondents, 2%, reported mishaps as a result of their experimentation, including a trip to the hospital. Household items aren't designed for intimate fun and can lead to some pretty awkward doctor visits. If you're feeling adventurous, do a little research on how to play it safe, or better yet, invest a purpose-made sex toy. Those are crafted from safe materials and rigorously tested to ensure that they're perfect for delicate areas they're stimulating. I need to go to Australia and start selling sex toys, because apparently there's a need for it.
Surprisingly, because the first thing that went through my brain is, I've had, there are specific, they're like Tupperware parties, but for sex toys. And I've been to a few of them. And it, honestly, it's not because I was embarrassed or anything. It was just like, somebody's like, will you come? Because otherwise, you know, people aren't going to talk, or they're not going to try stuff out, or they're not going to do whatever. And we need somebody that's not afraid to say something. So I was a that's what she said person. But it did help, because that was a safe spot, I guess, a safe space for women to buy different types and different levels of sex toy. But man, yeah, no. That person that was talking about using, that I've never used cucumber, but using not made for sex toy objects as makeshift sex toys back in college when I couldn't afford anything. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely did.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I get it. I don't think that's as much as, I mean, she's not the first or last person to use a cucumber, and some people have probably used other things like a banana, or some people have used other things as well. So she's not the first one. I guess it's just...
Nor the last.
And especially all the things that I read off that list. Now, probably the... I even have heard in recent years of electric toothbrushes. I'm hoping not the bristle in. But but even then, what it goes to show, too, with movies and how movies are. The shower head, I think we've seen plenty of movies with people using the shower head as well. So
it worked well.
Yeah. So it's not a surprise. It's nothing new, and it's nothing to be ashamed of, because don't think that you're the only person that's doing it. And yes, if you are in a grocery store and I see you over there to cucumbers, I'm probably going to judge you and see which one you choose. There's those long cucumbers, the salad ones, and then there's those short cucumbers. So if you're over at the Longwood, I know what you're doing. But yes, so no, it's not a shocking thing. I think Australia, because they're probably like, well, we use all these products, but we just don't use the regular sex toy. Hey, if you need it, I'm going to start by buying and like selling it to people in Australia. So if you need one, I'm your plug. I got you. Since we got a couple of minutes, well, you know what? I'm going to leave this story because I feel like I have to start wrapping this up because there were actually a few other things too from the Smoking Gun files, which I did not get a chance to.
Yeah, we'd have to be rapid fire. I don't know if you're gonna if you wanted to do rapid fire, give you a yes or no thing.
Yeah, no, because the other story I had kind of requires like a little bit of time. So you know what? Because you all been so good, I'm gonna do two stories from the Smoke and Gun files, and then we'll wrap this up tonight. Actually, before I get to the other story, we talked about a story a while back where a duo had propped up a dead man in the car and withdrew his money. Well, those two ladies pled guilty to propping up a corpse of an 80-year-old man this week. Both women had been in custody since March for doing that. The judge sentenced one of them to 12 months in jail on a felony rap and 5 months in custody on a lesser count. A judge also ruled that the other woman was competent to stand trial and knew the wrongfulness of her behavior. So that's coming up too. One of the stories comes from Ohio, an Ohio man who allegedly burglarized a Petland store and set loose some animals. Well, he wasn't too smart. He was found with several hamsters stuffed in his pockets when cops discovered him sleeping in a leopard print onesie outside a nearby business. Matthew Pancake, that's his actual name, was arrested for breaking into several stores in Columbus, according to cops. When investigators arrived outside the pet store, they found dogs, birds, bunnies, and a hamster in the parking lot outside. Some other small animals were still unaccounted for. In addition to Petland, Pancake is accused of breaking the front door glass and entering a Rooster's restaurant and a shoe store. They found Pancake, who has an extensive rap sheet, asleep near a Big Lots store. A police frisk turned up the purloined rodents. Charged with vandalism and breaking and entering, he was booked into the Franklin County Jail after being treated at a local hospital for injuries he apparently suffered during the pre-dawn break-ins. He's scheduled for arraignment tomorrow in Franklin County Municipal Court. And then comes the other story. Since we are in the After Dark segment, an Iowa man has pled guilty to pleasuring himself outside a come-and-go convenience store. Again, after completing the lewd activity, Kenneth Lee Kelly departed for his nearby Iowa City residence. In a written plea, Kelly recently copped to indecent exposure, a serious misdemeanor. A sentencing hearing has been set for August 15th at the Iowa City Courthouse to, quote, give the victim the opportunity to attend or present a victim impact statement. He could face up to a year in jail. He was busted last year after witnesses called 911 to report that an unknown male had said sexual things to them and began pleasuring himself in their presence in front of the come-and-go. When questioned by police, Kelly, whose rap sheet includes theft and narcotics convictions, claimed he wasn't exposing himself and instead was just scratching his genitals. Oh, jeez.
That's one heck of a crap.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I'm going to leave that one alone. And with that, I will say that the clock on the wall is just about telling us it's time to go. There's a reason why I'm wrapping this up early tonight, because I know that you have some shout-outs to do for this week.
For this week, yes. Absolutely. We have 1, 2, 3. There's 3 birthdays that have passed, including yesterday as a birthday for one person. Happy birthday, Uncle. And then tomorrow, one of the mermaid-adjacent people are turning 21, so happy birthday to that person as well. All of that is happening, but then also next week, lots of birthdays. Lots of birthdays. Grandparents' birthdays, kiddos' birthday. Woo! Turn 21.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Asian kid getting her rite of passage, and we're playing some Bang Goal. So
yes.
If you're in the area, let me know, and I will let you know where we're going to be. But we are absolutely playing the bingo, where I pulled out the home bingo set so that we can have paper and for the people that are not 21 yet. And we're just going to have a grand time for the next, you know, next week, definitely.
Man, 21.
I know. It's so exciting and so scary at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I'm not quite 21 yet in my brain.
Yeah, it is, I can only imagine. You know?
I'm so excited! I'm so scared!
Actually, absolutely.
Funniest thing about that particular moment is the anniversary of that came up this week. And actually on Instagram, it was Elizabeth Berkley who posted the photo because I guess it was sent to her from Mario Lopez. And it was a meme. It says, 33 years ago today, please continue to speak out about caffeine. And so she said, no words except I'm so excited. Thanks for sending me this, Mario Lopez. And the remarks, of course, the internet never seems to, it never
fails.
Because one said, some can say that Jesse Spano never quit the caffeine pills. Some say she changed her name to Naomi Malone and moved to Las Vegas to become a showgirl. And then another person said, no time. There's never any time. Still relevant 33 years later. And then one said, Naomi Malone origin story unlocked. And one said, I quit drinking soda immediately after this moment. That is 33 years ago. That's insane. But yes, but no, happy birthday, kiddo. 21, man. I remember when a baby. Oh,
baby, yeah.
I feel so old.
There are a lot of people that remember kiddo from baby to, like, falling asleep under desks to whatever stories there are, and I am looking forward to making the memories but also sharing the memories and being able to push kiddo out into the whole, like, here you go. Now you get to be 21, and let's rock this joint.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Here's to hoping that her first bingo at 21 is a winner.
Oh, we're going to double pay so she can, like, get the moolah.
Yes. Are you also going to get those, like, those little cards that they get at the bingo halls? The ones where you got to open it up and, like, match three in a row or something? Or?
Oh, yeah, the pull tabs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, her first purchase at the bingo hall is going to be from the dauber vending machine.
Of course. You got to get a totally. You got to get a dauber, and you got to get, like, a bag of, like, potato chips.
Some kind of plushy doll or something that voodoo,
yep.
Like hair, you gotta troll.
You got to have a troll doll with a little wild hair, and then you got to, get it all done. Awesome. That is awesome. Not only for her, but for all of you that are celebrating a birthday here in the next week, happy birthday. There seems to be so many here in this month of July. I think I had like 5 friends today alone who had birthdays. So birthdays, anniversaries, whatever you have, joy. And of course, we always thank you for listening to us here on Page One. We're here every Friday night, just about 10 o'clock in the East, 9 o'clock Central. We'll see you next week. Maybe? Yes?
Maybe.
Okay. I ask you. I don't know.
We'll see. Depends on how much bingoing we get done.
Right. If not, we will either be here next week. If not, in 2 weeks from tonight. But we will let you know. Of course, you can always stay tuned to my Twitter page at NewsCommentBTR. We'll let you know. But yeah, but in the meantime, until next we meet, for Mary, I'm LeVar. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Catch us wherever you can catch us for your podcast delight. Odyssey, iHeartRadio, Apple, we're all there, and Spotify. catch it there. But as always, in closing, we tell you to take care of yourselves and each other. Be kind to one another, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks for listening to Page One. Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.